Great. It is 2 o'clock, and the Rules and Open Government Committee will come to order. Roll call, please.
Candelas, absent. Duan?
Here.
Foley?
Here.
Kamei?
Here.
Cohen, absent. We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the Rules and Open Government Committee meeting. As a reminder, we expect all attending to follow the code of conduct located in the agenda. Failure to comply with this code of conduct and behavior which will disturb, disrupt, or impede the orderly conduct of the meeting may result in removal from the meeting. Well, thank you for being here. We will now go to our agenda, and first up is our review of the April 21st final agenda. Let me get to that. And let's see here. We have closed session at 9:30, open session, regular session at 1:30. We have no evening meeting. We have ceremonials, consent calendar going from page 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then strategic support item 3 going from page 8, 9. And then we have nothing under item 4, public safety. Going on to page 10, we have transportation and aviation services. We have 5.1. We have nothing under environmental, nothing under neighborhood services, community economic development, 10 and 11. We have land use. We have no land use. And then that's it for April 21st. Is there any public comment?
No public comment.
Move okay. Approval.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Let's vote.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much. Next item up is April 28th, and we will have 9:30 open closed session, 1:30 regular session. We have ceremonials and consent starting on page 4. Moving on to page 5, 6, ending on page 7. We have strategic support on page 7, a little bit on 8, and then we don't have anything under 4, 5, and 6. We have neighborhood services on page 8. We don't have anything under community economic development or redevelopment. And then we have land use starting on page 9. And that's it. For April 28th. Is there any public comment?
No public comment.
Move for approval.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Let's vote. Great.
Motion passes.
Moving on to our consent calendar, we have public record and we have VEBA, Advisory Committee appointment, and we have approval of flag raising and request to travel. On page 3, and we have page 5, retroactive approvals. Are there any comments on, public comment on consent?
Brian, please go ahead and make your way to the podium.
Thank you. Thank you for putting it in the public record. I would encourage you to look at the links I sent you. There's about 50 hours of my personal time in checking them out. And it gives you a whole bunch of ideas for how to deal with people who are unhoused. So I would hope you do that. I want to come down here in person to just ask you to do that. Thank you.
Back to the committee.
Thank you so much for that, Brian.
Is approval of consent?
There's a motion and a second on consent. Let's vote.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much. Going on to item C, we have item C1, which is alternative financing for affordable housing. And I see that Councilmember Tordillos is here. I think he might be saying a few words. Should we go to him first?
Good afternoon, Rules Committee members. The memo before you today is a direct response to the options outlined in the recent info memo from Housing Director Eric Sullivan on alternative financing for affordable housing production. As we all know, residents are continuing to deal with high housing costs that are increasingly unsustainable. Many are living paycheck to paycheck. Others have been forced to leave the city entirely or have fallen into homelessness. The council has taken several steps in recent years to support housing production, particularly for market rate housing. This work is critical as we work to build our way out of our housing shortage, but we know that we need more housing across all levels of affordability in order to meet the needs of our residents. For affordable housing, the greatest limiting factor to increasing supply has been the very limited amount of public funding available to finance these developments. The info memo from the Housing Department outlines a number of possible options for bridging that gap by combining existing financing tools in new ways in order to produce affordable housing in mixed income developments. By combining tools like our housing production incentives, master lease financing, and our gap financing and private activity bond programs, our hope is that we will be able to build more affordable units into future market rate projects at lower per unit costs, resulting in mixed income communities that avoid the feasibility challenges of traditional unfunded IHO, and which produce buildings that contribute to the growth of the city's property tax roll in order to shore up our long-term fiscal sustainability. The direction in our memo is to return to council with deeper analysis of these options, what trade-offs we anticipate, the potential impact on our housing pipeline, and analysis of both the breadth and the depth of affordability that these tools could facilitate in order to enable the council to make informed decisions and move quickly to leverage new tools. These programs will not obviate the need for more 100% affordable housing projects or projects intended to serve deeper levels of affordability, but taken together, we believe that they could provide an important new tool to unlock more affordable housing and bring down costs for our residents. With that, happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you so much, Councilmember Tordillas. And before we go to the council and the public, I just want to welcome the students to our Rules and Open Government Committee. Thank you for being here. Vice Mayor Foley.
Members of the public first.
Oh. We're going to call members of the public first.
No public comment on this one.
Thank you. Vice Mayor Foley.
Okay. Thank you for the memo. I will move approval to the memo subject to workload analysis and refer it to workload analysis.
Second.
Great. Okay, seeing that there's no public comment, we will vote.
Motion passes.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Councilmember Tordillas.
Thank you, committee, and also want to thank all of the co-authors on the memo and also Councilmember Ortiz for his original memo prompting this info memo. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Councilmember Ortiz. Great. We're going to move on to item number two, which is request to add resolution honoring the women and families of the farm worker movement and proclaiming March 31st as Farm Workers Day to the City Council meeting of April 21st. Is there any public comment?
No public comment.
Thank you very much.
Move approval.
Second.
Wonderful. There's a motion and a second. Let's vote.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much. And now moving on to item number three, direction to address property damage impacts from Rancho del Pueblo golf course. And I see Councilmember Ortiz coming down to tell us more about it.
Thank you so much. Colleagues, I'm here to respectfully ask for your support in accepting this memo so that we can begin addressing a long-standing issue impacting residents in the Mayfair neighborhood and the California Fairways HOA. For years, families living adjacent to the Rancho del Pueblo golf course have been dealing with repeated property damage from broken windows to safety concerns caused by errant golf balls. These aren't isolated incidents. This is a pattern that has created real financial strain, stress, and a sense of insecurity for residents in their own homes. And the reality is, this is a city-owned facility. That means we have both a responsibility and an obligation to ensure that its operations are not negatively impacting the very communities we serve. This memo is not about placing blame. It's about taking action. It directs the city manager to work collaboratively with Corsco to identify and implement practical solutions that reduce harm and improve quality of life for residents. We can support recreational assets like our golf course while also prioritizing safety and accountability. Those two things are not mutually exclusive. At the end of the day, this is about trust. Our residents need to know that when issues like this arise, their city is responsive, proactive, and willing to step in. I respectfully ask for your I vote. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before we go to the committee, is there public comment?
No public comment.
Thank you so much. Councilmember Dwan.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Councilmember Ortiz, to bring this memorandum to rules. But I do have about four questions. Is the Rancho del Pueblo still a revenue-sharing lease where the course operator take on the liability?
That's a great question for Angel. I think that the operator is, I don't know, I'll let him talk, but my conversation is they are not willing to take the liability. That's why I would like the city to step in.
Yeah, Councilmember. So that's kind of a tricky question because liability is subject to kind of like how an incident happens, right? But that gets because it's so ambiguous and there's some gray area there. One of the things that PRNS is actually in the process of doing now is really clarifying that protocol. The way we see it internally is that if there is damage caused to an adjacent property caused by the golf course, then really we should take liability and responsibility for that. We're also taking a deeper look at how do you golf-proof certain homes. Like when this issue was first brought to my attention by Councilmember Ortiz, I reached out to Corsco, which is the operator, as well as to our PRNS staff. And you know, the good news here is that there's not a whole lot of incidents happening, right? But you know, there have been enough to kind of, you know, raise some concern on this. And what we have found is that in the case of Rancho, there's one property in particular that is a little more exposed than everything else. So we're going to be looking at how we golf-proof that home, as well as take care of the liability caused by any golf ball damage.
Do you happen to know how many errant balls that affect the resident within the past years?
Oh, so many. As I've been talking to residents, as I'm talking to them, I look in their yard and there's golf balls in their yards.
Okay.
In terms of reported incidents, there's been three in the last 6 months.
Okay, three in the last 6 months, and I would imagine probably windows involved or cars or...
A good amount. A good amount. I mean, I can tell you that the HOA has made this a priority.
And did the HOA's conversation with the operator, did they, any type of solution, the operator willing to at least, you know, replace or repair...
That's what the direction. That's the whole purpose of this memo. Yeah. Unfortunately,
so,
the city.
So we actually are hoping that through this vehicle we're able to get to a lot of those answers. Okay. Yeah.
I just know that some of my family members who's golf quite a bit, and there was a case called Hellman versus La Cumbre Golf and Country Clubs. So it's, you know, the Rancho Pueblo been there since 1965, and some of those homes was built after 1965. Yeah. So the court stated very clear, and it was upheld to the lower court decision, that if you built your home after the golf course is already there, you're accepting some of the problematic from the golf course as well. So I just want to mention that because... the lower court made that decision. It went on to appeal to the upper courts, and then it came back to the same decision as the lower court made. I just want to make sure that we understand all the parameters from the what you call the precedent decision from the court, and we also want to be good neighbors to people who live around there too as well. But we also want to make sure the vendor is willing to take on the responsibility to repair or replace some of these damages, if you will.
And Councilmember Dwan, that information we hope is the reason why Councilmember Ortiz has asked this. So I think that the appropriate way is to, as a committee, get a workload analysis, and then that way we can kind of take a look to see what it would take to get that kind of information.
So, so council member, so I did reach out to PRNS on this, and because they're actually already in the process of convening Corsco and the residents and all, I think we could go ahead and green light this because it's already work that's underway. Okay. So if you're open to that, we could do that. I mean, we could go back and do some additional work load analysis, but it's a pretty simple fix. It's getting the right people in the room and working out the details. But
okay. Are you done?
No, I'm good. Okay. Thank you very much.
Vice Mayor Foley.
So what you're saying is you don't need a workload analysis. This can be done in your workload already without any additional resources.
Well, the way we see this is this has been kind of an ongoing issue. It doesn't happen every day or every week, but it's been ongoing enough that it is included in the current scope of PRNS's work. So that's different from like this being like a new kind of like, additional work. This is something, it's kind of like property management, right? So we view that as part of the scope. Initially, we were looking at maybe needing a workload analysis. Staff jumped on this right away, and it has already started engaging the right people, so we feel that we could probably just get to a solution a lot quicker that way.
Okay. In that case, then, I will move approval of the Council Member Ortiz memo.
I'll second that, and I just want to make sure that we find a permanent solution for the resident there. Obviously, it seemed like There are several houses that get a lot of golf balls, and I think either raising the net or changing the trajectory direction if you can. Thank you.
Great. There's a motion and a second. Let's vote.
Motion passes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Councilmember Ortiz. Great. Moving on to open forum.
Brian?
I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We are our own. I have a very personal faith tradition that people often celebrate here, different faith traditions, and we hope and wish for somebody who's transcendent or God or whatever to help us. But we still push the button when we cross the street. We still look both ways. We still have workload analysis to see if we can do it. So there's a practical side. People stop, after COVID, I don't know if you noticed, but people stopped believing in the government to the point that I haven't seen it like this since even in the 60s. There's no trust. There's these conspiracy theories, and probably because of social media has played that out. Our species has developed two things that could save it from extinction. Possibly being able to deflect an asteroid and vaccines. Other things, clean water, like we talked about yesterday with the, we have to gain truth back. And so in order to do that, what is it, once bitten, twice shy? Truth has to come out. There was another senator, I believe, had some abuse issues. Two people, and then one of the people here on the podium, I think it was Section 3 or District 3, went through, it was a big, truth has to be, who knew what happened in every aspect? I don't know how to put that in 2 minutes, but it's really, I implore you, in all aspects of these things, because once it comes out that somebody knew something and they didn't, or they didn't say anything, it's 10,000 times worse. Like I said, people, we need to trust our leaders because you're the ones that would drive if, God forbid, there's another thing, another COVID or something. Anyways, I know it's disjointed, but thank you for listening.
Back to the committee.
Thank you so much, Brian. And with that, we are adjourned at 2:19.